You are listening to Sheep Might Fly. It's a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Marina Roberts. Right now we are reading Girl Reporter from my Cookie Cutter Superhero series. You can go back and listen to the previous episodes to catch up on this story, which is almost finished, just a few more chapters to go. So, Girl Reporter, Chapter 10, Mother of the Year. As the shock wore off, I realised that I had been covertly filming a pair of male closeted superheroes making out with each other, and that was not okay. With a shaky hand, I hit the stop button on the camera. I didn't delete the footage right away, but I was going to have to, wasn't I? That wasn't even a decision. Good call, my mother said as I lowered the camera. I wouldn't. I know, sweetie. There was something very soft in her voice. You knew about this too, I said, with a wave in the direction of the clinching couple. Is that why you never denied a relationship with Sola? To protect their secret? Partly, admitted Mum. Though, by the time I realised the whole world believed I was in love with Sola, a denial wouldn't have made much difference anyway. Sola and the Dark were still locked together, kissing furiously. Wow, I said, after a moment. Everyone around us had stopped and were waiting politely for them to do the same. I know, right? Said Mum. They're both way hotter when they're not talking. I could break the internet so hard, I breathed. How had they kept it under wraps for so long? You can never tell anyone, Mum said sternly. Journalistic ethics 101. I rolled my eyes at her. Also, people ethics, Mother. I'm not going to out anyone. Buckshot, original cat suit, Astra and Griff all wore resigned expressions that suggested they had walked in on these two getting busy on a couch far too often. Joey, at least, looked as surprised as I felt. She hadn't been around to witness her predecessor's covert and clearly long-established relationship with the Dark. Joey looked at me and mimed her mind being blown. I know, right? I mouthed back. Something else was happening. The walls shifted and slid around us. The ceiling was getting lower. Metal and glass panels pushed up out of the amphitheatre seats. The Dark and Sola pulled back from their epic reunion kiss. A platform of chrome and glass descended from the ceiling. Megadethra stood there, clothed in several strips of what also looked like chrome and glass. Her green hair spiralled up into a high ponytail, glowing with fairy lights and silver wires. Finally, here we all are, she said, arms in the air like she was Lady Gaga welcoming her adoring fans to an epic final concert. I knew you'd come, Sola. Sola Classic turned to face her, without moving from the Dark side. I didn't come for you, he said in distaste. Our era is over. If you want to keep invading the Earth, I can't stop you. But if you're after some kind of grand showdown, I hate to break it to you, but I'm a lightweight these days. No match for you. He stretched his arms wide. Shoot me. I'm fish in a barrel. The Dark grabbed at his arm crossly. Can you not do that? She might take you up on it. She wants a fight, and I can't give her one. Sola Classic, no, let's just call him Clancy, argued. I only got this far because of our friends. He gestured to those he had brought with him, Buckshot, Surf, and the Catsuits. If I was making a vid about this day's many conflicts and revelations, which I was starting to accept, I never would. I'd be sure to investigate exactly how Buckshot got hold of so many useful robot minion-smashing weapons. As a private citizen. Clearly, the man had contacts. We have a lot of heroes here, said the Dark. They can handle it. Clancy laughed bitterly. While I stay safely back with the children. That's not going to work, eh? She didn't summon us here for a group bonding activity. The only fight she wants is with me. Exactly, said Megadethra, still posing for all she was worth. Her body shimmered with weapons. I counted at least 12 different kinds of blaster, strapped to her thighs and hips and arms. You get me, Sola. I knew you weren't going to run off into the sunset without giving me one last chance to defeat you. Don't worry. I plan to make this a fair fight. I'm sure you all noticed where you're standing. The architecture around us took on a whole new significance. This place wasn't just made by the same people who made the machines, I said, realizing. My mother looked at me in horror. This is a machine, she said. Liam, stay close. The three of us, me, the kid, and Tina Valentina, were the only humans who had never been inside the Hero machine back in the Sydney Sky Tower. I could see the others realizing it, heroes current and former alike. Sparks flew from Astra's hands. Heat built up in Joey, making her eyes and arms glow like freshly forged steel. New catsuit flicked her fingers and a purple baton slid out of empty air, smacking into her palm. Ooh, that was a new power I'd never seen before. The walls hummed around us. Lights flashed. My vision swirled, making me dizzy. Griff fell to his knees. This is... he choked. It's taking my power. Across the amphitheatre, all of the current superheroes were similarly affected. New catsuit swayed, and the baton in her hand flickered. Joey and Astra looked at each other in horror. Surf, who'd been hovering several feet above the ground on a wave of energy, hit the ground hard, but stayed upright. The dark fell flat on his back, along one of the steel rows of the amphitheatre with a terrifying thump. Solar grabbed for him too late. Eh? I can't move my legs, said the Dark, in a flat voice as if this was something he had been waiting for, expecting all of his life. I can't... He gave an inaudible growl of frustration. I could feel it. The powers swirling around us, a frenetic energy of life and light. It made me feel sick, and at the same time it made me feel... strong. Let's redistribute the wealth, shall we? Declared Megadethra. How would our civilians feel about getting a little of the juice they've been missing out on? There were six of each, I realised in a dawning kind of horror. The Dark, Astra, Surf, New Catsuit, Solar and Griff with the Kid Dark powers he never gave back. Six of us, civilians. Tina Valentina, me, Liam, Buckshot, Danny, Clancy. Danny cried out, her body sparking up with Astra's powers. She glowed white and silver all over. Her blonde hair rippled out, speckled with stars. It was shorter a minute ago. I didn't ask for this, she shouted. But you can't resist it, smirked Megadethra. You accepted the gift once. My mother dragged Liam and I to the ground, covering us with her body, half hug, half shield. You've never wanted to be a superhero, right? She muttered urgently. Not even a little bit, I promised her. Good. Concentrate on that. The machine has a history of taking our wishes into account. So, like the Sorting Hat in Harry Potter? The air tasted like metal and lemons. You're such a nerd, said my mother, and kissed the top of my head. I love you, sweetie. I love you too, I told her. And then concentrated all my thoughts into not Slytherin, only in my case it was not superhero, not superhero. I thought of Joey and her hand. We'd talked about it in that interview a million years ago when we were both 16 and knew nothing about the world. The machine had flicked between options, letting her choose if she wanted to keep her curve or grow a new hand. This was a different machine. There was no guarantee it would work the same way. I was a supervillain once, said Liam, conversationally. Not now, dear, said my mother. You can tell us about it later. I heard Buckshot shout in surprise. I didn't. Hey, maybe this time you can wear the catsuit, said Danny. At least someone was still quipping. Such a spoil sport, Tina Valentina, Megadethra yelled out as the three of us concentrated hard on rejecting the powers she was trying to force inside us. I guess Solar's going to have to take more than his fair share. All the better to create a worthy adversary. When I dared to lift my head and peek at what was happening, I saw Clancy Bunning rise from the dark side.
"I agree with you, Megadethra," he said calmly. "All this power, all this energy, Solar is absolutely the best person to absorb all that."
"So glad you agree," said Megadethra. Clancy smiled. Joey screamed. Her whole body shook, and her skin literally flashed different colours, light and dark, green and purple. "Oh," said Danny, as if she finally got what needed to happen, and she made a wild gesture at Joey. The fierce astral powers bled out of her like she'd struck an artery. They smacked Joey in the face.
"Right," said Buckshot, and he threw Catsuit's powers at Joey too. Joey rose in the air, still screaming as the powers took her over. But it wasn't in pain anymore. It was exultation. She closed her mouth, spread her arms wide, and white fire bled from her eyes.
"Wrong, Solar," Megadethra screamed, not used to being thwarted. "I'm retired," Clancy bellowed back at her. "She's Solar now. That's what a legacy means. And she's very, very good." Joey glowed. She whipped her arms around and sparks rolled off her. The metal panels peeled off the walls, curling down like wallpaper that had finally given up the ghost.
"No!" screamed Megadethra.
"Admit it, Meg," yelled my mother, who couldn't help getting in on the drama. "She's a worthy opponent."
"Shut up," I muttered. "I don't want every date I go on with Joey to be interrupted by an intergalactic nemesis. That's actually worse than if you made that bitch my stepmother."
"I know I taught you not to use that word," said Mum. "Even about backstabbing space tyrants with terrible tastes in outfits."
"I know, right? Is she wearing a cosmic bikini or a toaster?"
Megadethra made her choice. She screamed like she was channeling every Hammer horror movie screened on Earth between 1935 and 1979, and she threw everything she had at my future girlfriend. Solar fought back. It was an epic duel. With all these enhanced and borrowed powers, Solar was mighty in a way she'd never been before, and that's saying something when you're talking about a robot-punching, planet-shoving, super-strong warrior babe who does it all one-handed. Mum, Liam and I headed down to where the Dark was sitting on the ground of the arena, having angrily shoved off his boyfriend's attempts to help him. The others came over to watch the fight with us. I'm not even kidding about this part. Megadethra's robot minions brought us drinks and snacks after the first half hour.
"She really is very impressive," said Liam, as Joey landed a powerful punch on Megadethra, knocking her so hard against the wall that it left a queen-sized dent.
"Get in line, kid," I told him. The final battle between new Solar and old Megadethra lasted 3 hours and 45 minutes. I recorded some of it, on the off chance that I felt like presenting any of this to my channel someday. Also, I could brag about kissing the reigning champion of space, whatever. When they were done, they were both utterly wrecked, but still vibrating with power. Joey made a cage from pieces of the machine she'd telekinetically ripped from the walls and trapped Megadethra inside until she surrendered. "Perhaps you are a worthy opponent after all," said Megadethra, her eyes gleaming with avarice. "Aren't you a little grateful? I made you the mightiest hero in Australia. The only hero."
"No," said Joey, wiping a strand of hair out of her face. She looked proud of herself and a little bit smug. I bet this was how she looked after really great sex, and I wanted to find out if that was true.
"You didn't give me that. I'm not your legacy. Take this for what it is, Megadethra. Closure. This is a brave new world, a whole new generation of heroes, and I want my own nemesis. You're not in my league." She turned, spread her arms wide, and flung the powers back where they belonged. The Dark groaned as he regained not only his sharper reflexes,
but his ability to use his own legs. He rolled to his feet in a practiced move, radiating barely restrained fury. Astra threw back her head and breathed in her stars and sparks and brightness. New Catsuit grinned with delight as she got back her mojo and conjured the baton again to prove it to herself. Surf made a loud yodeling cry of triumph and rode an energy wave all the way over to wrap Joey in a bone-cracking hug. Griff, beside me, barely reacted. He looked a little surprised, though, as if he hadn't expected to get his powers back at all. He was the one who wasn't supposed to have them anymore. But Joey wasn't the power police. She gave back exactly what had been taken. With grace and dignity, my mother stalked over to where Megadethra sagged inside the metallic cage. "You owe me the rest of that interview," she said, "before we let you out." Megadethra laughed up at her as if they were flirting again. "I don't have the answers you want, Tina. I don't know where the machines came from. I use the scraps left behind by their mysterious architects, just like you humans. If you're sensible, you won't poke too hard at that particular mystery. I don't think anyone will enjoy what happens when the makers of the machines find out how their gifts have been used." My mother stared at her, implacable, every inch the professional interviewer. "How does it feel to be defeated by yet another Solar in your own territory, Your Majesty?" Megadethra wiped a streak of blood off her own lip. "It feels very familiar, Tina Valentina. It feels like coming home." Megadethra agreed to send us home by wormhole. This was, frankly, the least she could do. To Liam's distress, both Solars negotiated to give up Audrey and Rosalind, on the grounds that the ships were from Megadethra's dimension in the first place, and travel between here and there wasn't something that any of us wanted to encourage. Joey stood next to me as we waited for the wormhole to open. I had the overwhelming urge to hold her hand. Honestly, the only thing that held me back was that Clancy and the Dark were doing exactly that, 2 feet away from us. There would be no canoodling in the back room of a retro dimension ship if we were taking the fast way home, but I planned to book some serious private time with Joey in our near future. "You know," my mother said, "I've spent my entire adult life trying not to date superheroes. Maybe I should just give in to the inevitable." Nearby, Surf cleared his throat and offered his most charming smile. "Hey there, I don't think we've been introduced." "Stop that, you are half her age," I said sternly. Joey nudged me, but he's not an extra-dimensional space tyrant. This was true. "I'm going to have to think about this one." My mother gave me an arch look. "You do that, darling. Let me know what you decide." She leaned in and wrote her phone number on Surf's arm. "You know what I like about older women?" he smirked at her. "They always have a pen." With charm like that, it was amazing he didn't already have a girlfriend. It took 4 seconds to step through the wormhole to Darling Harbour, where we found a massive reception awaiting us. Turned out those of us who travelled in Audrey had been missing 3 months, and those who arrived in Rosalind had been missing for about 5 weeks. Australia's Police, Army, Special Forces and the Secret Superhero Government Task Force, specialising in international supervillain crime syndicates, were all highly alarmed about the recent absence of superheroes. When the wormhole's approach was detected, they all rolled out to greet us in the expectation that this was it. The big invasion. I counted 4 tanks, and more machine guns than I thought this country owned. "Hold!" yelled a general. "It's the good guys." "Hear that?" said Surf, grinning all over his face. "We're the good guys." "Like you need more positive reinforcement," Astra sighed at him. We were all exhausted, but apparently we were good guys. Came as a relief to me, too. Clancy and the Dark were no longer holding hands. I felt a pang of sadness for them. A very short girl in a Catsuit 2 hoodie, yes, I said girl, she was maybe 12,
lunged forward to stick an iPad in my face. Friday Valentina, this is Hildy Hayes for Teen Hero Online. Can you comment on what universe's threatening menace drew this entire group off-world, and has it been defeated? I blinked at her. She pressed on, every bit the hardened journalist. Friday, answer the question. Is it true that original Solar battled new Solar to get his powers back?
I believe I can answer that, said a deep voice.
Clancy Bunning leaned over my shoulder. Hildy let out a tiny squeak as she realised who he was.
I'm well and truly retired from the hero business, and proud to have such a strong legacy taking my name, said Clancy. Solar is the hero that Australia needs, and she has a great team at her back. We couldn't be in better hands.
He smiled, a press conference smile. Hildy wasn't going to leave it there. Is it true that this unofficial group outing was to celebrate your secret wedding with TV legend Tina Valentina?
Hey, I protested, leave the man alone. I think if someone secretly married my mother, I'd know about it.
The iPad swung back to me. So where did you all disappear to? Asked the preteen menace. I hesitated. There were clearly a whole bunch of reporters and photographers trying to get past the police tape and military, but this one kid had managed to get through. I admired her for that, but I didn't owe her my story. It was a diplomatic mission, I said, to confirm that Megadethra has retired from the supervillain game once and for all.
That's right, said Clancy, barely missing a beat. It took longer than expected to pin down the specifics of the agreement, but I think Australia deserves to feel safe in the knowledge that Megadethra guarantees never to invade this dimension again.
We mostly talked about gardening, I said. When we weren't organising piles of paperwork, there was a lot of paperwork. I tried to look earnest and boring.
The Palace Zone's anti-gravity gardens are especially lovely at this time of year, said Clancy.
We both smiled at her, with all our teeth. We had to cross a press gauntlet to get to the vehicles that the government had waiting to whisk us away from the public eye. Hildy kept pace with the other journos, all doing their best to prize a story out of our ragtag group. We stuck to our impromptu cover story, providing them the dullest possible sound bites, interspersed with space garden factoids. The reporters were especially annoyed that none of us would confirm whether or not Astra had died during the adventure.
Gonna find out the real story, you know, Hildy muttered at me as her parting shot.
Good luck with that, kiddo, I told her.
And I almost meant it.
Hey, hang on. I handed her a business card. For once I'd actually managed to carry a few in my phone case instead of leaving them neatly stacked at home. The card had my personal email address on it and all my social media handles. Hit me up sometime and we can talk about career stuff.
Hildy looked suspicious.
Really?
Sure.
Lift as you climb. That was another of my mother's gems of wisdom about our line of work. Make allies of the women in your field. You never know when you'll need backup.
I'll have a bunch more questions for you next time, warned Hildy.
I can't wait. After the official debrief and the anti-space radiation protocols, it was a relief to get home. Mum invited Griff over, but he looked from her to me and promised to come by in a day or two once he'd got Liam sorted. Coward, I called after him, and he didn't deny it. It was true that Mum and I had a lot to talk about. Feelings, tensions, recent revelations about sexual identities. But for the first few hours, we mostly ate our weight in Nutella sandwiches and gossiped about the superhero secrets she had been hiding all these years. She was glad to finally be able to discuss them with me.
It's the best story, I lamented. Like, the most epic superhero story of all time. It hits every button. My channel would kill to know that Solar and the Dark, the two longer-serving old-school Australian superheroes, have been involved in an epic interracial queer love story spanning decades.
It'll be told someday, Mum assured me. You really think so? Because history is super great at covering this kind of shit up.
Give them a break. They haven't done a minute's peace, not really, and their relationship only got more challenging when Clancy was retired, with the Dark still in service. I think someday they'll want their story told.
It won't be us that tells it, I sulked.
Probably not.
How is that not driving you up the wall right now?
Who says it isn't? Believe me, Friday, I want to crack this story like an egg white omelette. Part of me wants you to crack it too, the proud mother part, not the ruthless journalist part. The ruthless journalist part is cackling mine, all mine.
But if you're going to stick with this business without losing your soul, you have to accept that the stories aren't ours.
Especially the stories about epic interracial queer love. Hashtag own voices and all that. I almost choked on my sandwich. OMG, promise me you'll say hashtag out loud next time Griff's in the room. I think you might make him turn purple.
She grinned at me, proud of herself.
Also, hate to break it to you, Mum. We've both got the queer representation part down. Still white, wealthy, privileged. Not going to argue with that.
So, okay, I said, after a moment of mourning for the story I could never tell, the secrets I could never broadcast.
Yep, sad, move on.
This question is long overdue, and you are absolutely not obliged to answer me, but can you tell me about my father? Not that it matters, unless he's someone famous. I do need to know if he's someone famous.
A thought occurred to me. It's not Guy Pearce, is it? Blink twice if it's Guy Pearce.
Oh, darling, Mum sighed. It's such a boring answer.
He was one of three different guys at three different parties in one very irresponsible week. That's literally it. That's my big secret. I was so resentful that the world had created this myth of me as part of an epic love story, when an even more amazing love story was happening right under their noses. The dating pool doesn't exactly throw many exciting long-term prospects your way when the whole world thinks you're covertly dating a superhero. Felt sorry for myself for a while there and went through what can only be described as a slutty phase.
Sex-positive feminism, Mum, I chided her. We don't say slutty as a pejorative. Don't you read Teen Vogue?
She shrugged. Only their Twitter feed.
You're missing out. The good stuff's in the articles.
I looked down at the plate and nudged the last sandwich in her direction. I don't actually need a dad. Though, kudos for providing a big brother who's way too invested in my love life. We hit the jackpot there. A look of intrigue crossed Mum's face.
Speaking of which,
I winced. Please don't.
I have to ask.
No, you don't.
She leaned in, smirking at me.
Are you, like, totally dating Solar?
Reader, I divorced my mother.
Hashtag not really.
Hashtag, but would you blame me?
Thank you for listening to Sheep Might Fly. We have one more chapter and an epilogue to go of this story, and then we'll be starting something new here on the podcast. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates about everything I do, plus tea. I talk about tea a lot. You can follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at SheepMightFly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.